Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
So last time in our sermon series, Max covered the hope in the books of Jeremiah and Lamentations, and I allocated myself the topic of lament. Lamentations models a biblical theology of bringing grief and questions before God in a raw and undiluted way. It's an expression of faith, not doubt. The poet Jeremiah does not deny God's justice, but appeals to his mercy, demonstrating a deep trust in God's presence and his character. In lamenting, we are expressing a belief that God is inclining his ear to us. And I aim to demonstrate that this is such a good and healthy process. God cares deeply about our pain and suffering. When we lament, we are articulating the unfairness in our lives. As we express our grief, we can trust in his justice to come through for us. But in his timing, and not always in the way we expect. In the Lamentations reading, the nation had been under siege for 2 whole years. Food and water had been scarce. We heard in the Gospel reading a reference to Jeremiah connecting that, as happened with the pursuit of Jesus as an infant, women had also lost their children in this siege instigated by the Babylonians in the Old Testament. We read in chapters 1 and 2 of this national disaster. Then we home in from chapter 3 to the personal, the individual. We aren't statistics, we are individuals. And Jeremiah cries out with 19 grievances. Lamentation 3 is full of language drawn from other parts of the Old Testament. In chapters 3, verse 5 of Lamentations, Jeremiah says, "He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship." Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Chapter 9, verse 1 stated, "Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people." Now, before we really get into this, I would like to emphasize that hardship and tragedy is not always God passing judgment for sin. It isn't always a punishment. In this situation in the Old Testament, people were warned for 100 years that judgment would be passed on Jerusalem if they did not turn from their ungodly ways. And boy, have they suffered and lost sight of God. In the earlier chapters, they refer to him in the third person, he or him. Now, as they feel once removed from God. Then at last, at verse 18, even though it's a dark saying, it provides a flicker of light as Jeremiah names the Lord. "So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I hoped for from the Lord." He has reconnected to God, but then he has to move from complaint to humility. There is an element of pride where we don't open up to Christian friends and we don't even open up to God. "How are you doing?" "Pretty good, thanks." "No, how are you really doing?" Our society is consumed with not dealing with bad things or sad moments. Social media is full of people portraying everything as wonderful all the time. I once bottled up some serious stuff and it drove me into half an hour of complete insanity. I was trying to be the girl that had it all, despite a challenging career, a sick baby, a toddler vying therefore for my attention, and Grailingwell Hospital pressing to discharge my mother into my care. I struggled even to find proper time for God. One morning I woke up feeling no one was noticing how much I had going on. Oops. Despite me not asking for help or offloading. No one was recognising my stress. So in that moment, I hatched a plan to get people to notice. And I was going to drive off to Edinburgh to escape it all. Why Edinburgh? I don't know. But I spent 20 minutes planning it. And then my insane moment had passed. And I realised I just needed to reconnect with God, the one who knew what was going on anyway. And I got on my knees and prayed, letting it all out in the flood of tears. And in that submission, I felt God was very close. That submission, that catharsis, was like singing the blues. Someone said, "What did you get if you play a country and western song backwards? You get your crop back, you get your ex back, and you get your dog back." Well, maybe not in real life, but I know I usually feel a whole load better when I've talked out loud my frustration to and in God. When I've got all of those porridgey spoons that are weighing me down out of my rucksack, sometimes too when I've had a good cry, the impression I get from the word lament is don't hold back those emotions that God gave you as a stop valve. Have your own personal teaspoon amnesty. He encourages us to examine ourselves too. It guides us to the right place. Let us examine ourselves too. Let us examine our ways and test them. And let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven and say, "We have sinned and rebelled." We all have pain, hurt, and despair. Jesus wept. God regretted. He made mankind in Genesis 6. Utter despair, utter anguish. The great Christian thinker and writer Charles Spurgeon knew a lot about depression, but drew great comfort from the fact that Jesus Christ walked this earth and knew tears and love and fear. He prayed in the darkness of the garden and cried out in anguish on the cross. And so he walks with us in our pain and understands it. If you are trusting in Jesus, it's okay for life's hardships to affect your emotions or to express those feelings like Jeremiah and David did. These people are dealing with anguish in a healthy way. Look at the Samaritan's helpline. They saved lives just by facilitating people to talk about their problems. No advice is given. As we engage with this, we learn how to confront our sorrows and pain and allow ourselves to process our emotions. The verses encourage us to embrace our grief as part of our journey to wholeness. Lamentation shows that faithful people are permitted, even encouraged, to bring their heartache before the Lord in candid and unfiltered ways. When Keith was in the army, they had to go out and do a dangerous sortie at night. They all got dressed and camouflaged up on their hands and faces. And then there was a delay which made them all very twitchy. So Keith put on the TV to distract them. Unfortunately, the only thing that was on was Little House on the Prairie. And when the lights went up at the end, they all had white stripes in their camouflage where they had got a bit emotional. But do you know, it's okay to show your emotion to each other, to Laura Ingalls and to God. Those soldiers could show each other their stripes of suffering. Expressing fear and sadness is a vital part of emotional and spiritual health. The atmosphere in that room was a lot calmer. The scriptures encourage us to be there for one another too, as we all experience ups and downs in life. Finding someone to share our lamentations with can lead to healing conversations and connections that help mend broken hearts. In expressing our sorrows as a community, we allow hope to flourish among us. Healing takes time. We have to move through the grief cycle, and Jeremiah has been spiraling down in despair. It was good for his soul to sink so low that his foot finally touched down on and rested on the rock. He had moved on the grief continuum from anger to humility. And after all this, we here today have hope. Christ has paid in full, so this will come to an end, and this life is a drop in eternity. He has covenanted himself to us. Paul wrote to Thessalonians, said, in life's darkest moment, yes, lament, but don't lament like those with no hope. Don't let your trials drive you from God. Let your trials drive you to God. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope, and all that I hoped from the Lord. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every morning ends the night. Every morning gives new forgiveness of sins. Every morning turns a fresh page. Never believe that you have reached your limit of receivable mercies. Even in the darkest day, please don't fall to the depths of thinking that God has run out of patience with you. And in Lamentations, God saves a remnant to build on. And Emily will explain next week that there is hope in Jesus, and that this was foretold in these Old Testament books. And to sign off chapter 3, I just wanted to leave us with the thought that the Lord will provide for us too, if after lament we will rest in him. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. In a restaurant, when everyone's dishes come, did you ever have food envy? If you chose a different dish to your fellow designer and it does not look so nice, and or it's a smaller portion. But this verse tells us if we are here today, we chose the right one on the menu. And God's beloved people, his chosen ones, all say, Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.